All right, we can bring the court to order today. Welcome to our Commissioner's Court. We have a number of people who are from around the area to come and see Tammy today. Welcome, one and all. We'll have a chance to introduce you as we have that opportunity to swear Tammy in just a few moments. But at this point, do we have someone who would volunteer to open for us in prayer this morning? Yes. Don, can you come to the microphone, please? Let's all stand together, and then we'll do our pledges.
Gracious Father, we're so privileged to be here today. Father, we just pray for peace in our world with all the trying times and things that are going on at this time. We ask your blessings on this meeting today, Lord, to be with each official. Touch them, guide them, give them direction, Father. May their decisions be the right decisions for the people. Father, we love you. We pray forgiveness of our sins. We pray that you'll just keep the guardian angels and guidance on each person here, protecting them from the different dangers that are out there today, Lord. Father, we just pray forgiveness of our sins and guidance to this day in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. The American flag, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible. Thank you all. You may be seated. If you would, let the record reflect that all of our commissioners are here today, are present. And do I have a motion to approve the Commissioner's Court agenda?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Proclamations and resolutions. Presentation of award to Deputy Enrique Rupert. Who is going to do? There we go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Brenda LaVar. I am the Vice President of NAMI Greater Houston.
Could you pull that microphone down there for everybody to hear? There we go.
Vice President of NAMI Greater Houston, which covers Harris, Montgomery, and Fort Bend County. Every year during the quarter, we recognize crisis intervention officers. And for our just past quarter, we were able to recognize Deputy Enrique Rupert because he is an exceptional crisis intervention team officer. We wanted to come and just be able to say this, and at this time when we're looking at how does law enforcement help, I want you to know that you approved the crisis intervention additional officers, and so we are just so very pleased to be able to honor Officer Rupert because of all that he has done. He is a compassionate officer who works well with people in crisis, and this is what we need in law enforcement. So we're just glad to be able to do that. I want to turn this over to, Lieutenant Lula and then to Constable Cash.
Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you all for your time and having us here.
Speak right into the mic so we can all hear.
We'd like to
raise it up a little bit, man.
Yes, sir. We'd like to thank you for your time and letting us present Deputy Rupert with this award. I'd like to give you a brief story of one of the reasons for this award.
I don't think that's on.
Is it? Huh? Deputy Rupert, it was on a Sunday. He was his day off. He was at home enjoying his time with his family. He receives a phone call from Montgomery County Sheriff's Dispatch saying there's a gentleman on the phone that was wanting to talk to him. He's talked to him before. Deputy Rupert's helped him, so he was specifically asked for Deputy Rupert. So Deputy Rupert answers the phone like any other day, and this gentleman says, "Hey, you remember me?" And he says, "Yes, I sure do. I remember talking to you about a month ago." And he says, "Well, you know, you helped me when I was in my crisis at that time, and you did such a great job. And I'm sitting here on a bridge in Corpus Christi contemplating suicide." And he says, and I reached in my pocket, my wallet, and says, "You know, let me look and see." He was looking out to throw his wallet out over the bridge, and and found Rupert's card. And he says, you know what, if he'll answer and talk to me, then maybe, you know, he might be able to help me out during this crisis. Wow. So he does. And so he reaches out, calls the sheriff's department, and they get a hold of Deputy Rupert. And Rupert talks to him the whole entire time. And like Rupert always does with all of his consumers, he's compassionate, was talking to him, and he had the dispatch ping the gentleman's phone where Corpus Christi's police department could come and actually assist him off the bridge. And with Deputy Rupert's help over the phone, he actually stepped down all by himself and got treatment and got help for that call. So with this award, with yes. NAMI, we'd like to thank you for your dedication and your service.
And I'm going to ask that the other NAMI members that are here to please stand so that as we present this to you, because we thank you. Really are more than deserved.
As you do that, though, Deputy Rupert, would you like to say anything?
Yes.
Yeah. You're evidently pretty good at talking.
Yeah. Some of us need to be talked off the ledge here this morning.
I just want to say thank you to my staff at Precinct 1. Without the constable's foresight to have the CIT team as active that we are, then, you know, I probably wouldn't be getting this award today. To my lieutenant, my chief, and all the other members of Precinct 1 here today, I'd like to thank them as well. And I'm not a man of, like, too many words, but I just want to say, like, the CIT team has given me opportunity to help people on a daily basis and try to make that change in the world that we need at this time. So appreciate you guys for having me here today. I appreciate NAMI for giving me this award. Thanks for my wife being here. Thanks for everybody. That's all I have to say. Thank
Deputy,
you, guys.
Congrats.
That's right.
Constable? Commissioners, this is an investment you made in our community, and when I asked for this in 2017, and it's paying dividends. And I really appreciate y'all's support on this, the support of NAMI and a lot of the other mental health groups and professionals in our community. He's one of our unsung heroes. We have 14 of them that are doing a tremendous job for our community.
Excellent.
Thank you.
They are.
That's excellent.
Excellent.
Thank you, Constable.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Thank
Great
you.
You guys going to get a picture?
Thank you, Dr. LaVar, for coming this morning.
One more thing. Absolutely. He was also one of the two 100 Club recipients in Montgomery County this
wow.
year. So he's, this is the second award he's got for working in mental health this year.
Great.
Thank
great.
You.
Right. Thank you very much. You do great honor to all of us here in Montgomery County. Well done. All right. As we move on, do I have a motion to approve
Citizens.
The consent?
Citizens.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, forgive me, citizens. That's right. Right there in front of me. Do we have any citizens who would like to share anything with us this morning on a particular item on either the open or the consent agenda? Thank you, Amy. If there are none, then let's move on to our consent agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda as it is written?
Judge, I'd like to move one to open.
Okay.
So I'd like to move 9D1C on page 3 to open.
Let's hold on just a second.
Which one?
It's the Crowder Gulf Debris Management 9D1C, page 3.
And, Judge, we'd like to pull 9K1A.
9K1A. What page is that?
It is.
That's on page 6 of 9.
And pull that one?
Yeah. Want to move it to open.
Is that going to open? Okay.
I move on consent with those changes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much, and let's move right to that, to our open agenda. First of all, we have 9D1C, Commissioner Nowak.
Yes, sir. I don't know if Darren's here, but I believe Jason is, so he can answer this. Jason, as you are probably well aware of, last time we were unfortunate enough to have a hurricane, we had a contract with Crowder Gulf, and to say that they underperformed would be an understatement. And I know that this renewal is, you know, just part of the process, but I would like for you as emergency management director to reach out with them and make certain that they have the resources dedicated to Montgomery County that we're going to need when that time comes. And it is a when, not a if. And with the sure. active hurricane season that has been projected, I don't want to be sitting here waiting for Crowder Gulf to find trucks and get people here. I mean, I know Commissioner Riley and I were damn near picking it up in our pickup trucks last time. So,
is this during Imelda?
No, it was during Harvey.
Harvey.
Harvey, they had some issues with them. Imelda, they performed almost flawlessly. We had a few things, but Darren was able to stay on top of them. We'll have that conversation with them again. They did improve when we had to use them a second time. So,
got it. That's all I really just.
They did start slow, but they did get better as they went on. But
correct.
They need to start.
Yeah, we need them to start exactly. start fast right out the gate. Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. We'll have that conversation. Right.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a motion to approve?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. And then on page 6 of 99K1A.
Our resolution order for this item just changed slightly, basically saying this is for the escrow deposit money for the lots across the street with the White House, saying that if we don't build or construct a tax office on that property, that those funds go back into that line item. So it's just a slightly different than the backup, and so we wanted to bring it to your attention.
Wonder where that came from.
Okay, should we restructure the motion then on that? Or?
So just, no, just to approve this resolution in order.
Okay. Do
slightly
we have
different from the backup.
Okay, do we have a motion to approve?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
All right, as we move on to our open agenda, I've been asked to defer item 10A, and we're going to address that at another time. So let the record reflect that. And item number 11, 435th District Court, Judge McGinnis.
Good morning, judges and commissioners. We are bringing the 435th District Court is to effectuate a transfer of a position for a vacancy. Judge McGinnis asked me to come because she had a docket today, but she made it a priority to be here, so I'm going to turn it over. She'll answer any other additional okay. questions you have.
Judge?
You may or may not know that we have a vacancy. We've had a vacancy since, I believe, beginning of March. We're going on now approximately approaching 90 days. One individual manning the whole office and had an addition to the office with Judge Bluestein being now seated as the new associate judge. So it's a lot for one person. I believe I'm about to run this young man into the ground, and I need to fill this second position. I'm asking for you to transfer from the court administrative position to coordinator one, that line item of $9,205.
So you're looking at hiring a new court coordinator?
One, yes, sir. I'm not reorganizing.
For less than what was budgeted, and $9,000 less, is that what you're telling me? And you want to take that money and transfer it to?
Coordinator one position.
Yeah.
Commissioner, she's got a court administrator position that had a retirement. And so with that retirement, she doesn't want to promote the next guy with the same full amount. Instead, she wants to move it to the court coordinator
yeah.
one.
Yeah, I get that. Judge, I don't think I can vote for that today. Looking at the pay schedule that we have in all the courts and start dates, longevity that they have, to me it's going to throw it kind of out of sorts. If this is done, your guy will be making almost as much as Laurie Watson. I think she's making 70, it's going to be 68 and some change. And Laurie's been here for 30 years.
So the individual that's working now, that individual will move to the court administrator position.
Chris somebody?
Chris Rivera. Yes, yeah. Sir.
So you're going to hire a brand new person and pay them $68,000?
The external person. Yes. I'm going to hire someone. And
I think that
that position is, that pay that I'm asking is within the range for coordinator one.
Yeah.
It is not at the top end or the low end. It's mid-range.
I think we're confused on, are you hiring somebody new or are you moving somebody? This is confusing to me.
It's going
to
be both.
Okay, how are we doing what? Because you have to say this all over again.
She's moving Chris Rivera to
the court administrator position.
Court administrator position.
Correct.
That's open and going to take
and
that
lowering that salary.
And increase that salary to hire a new
she just said
coordinator lower. One.
Yeah.
Lowering one and raising the other.
Yes.
Commissioner, I'm with you. Commissioner Metter, I'm with you on this. I think that, part of the issue we have is that people don't, and no offense, but people don't seem to wait to do these things during budget hearings when the time is appropriate. And every single judge wants to come in and compare their court and their operations to another court and their operations. And that's just not how it works. And if you have and I'm not saying you're comparing it today, but I think that Mike is right, 68 for, and I think you made it worse when you said it would be for a brand new hire, because now we've got somebody that's been here 30 years, 71, and you're going to, bring somebody in that could potentially not have that much experience and are going to be almost making that much money. And so, Commissioner Metter, I'm on your side on this.
Well, I'm not saying they don't have the experience. I'm just saying it's not an internal hire from within the court or on the floor there. And I'm not comparing the court to the other courts for that matter. I believe Commissioner Metter, I believe the individual, I'm familiar with this person that you're speaking of. I actually worked with her 25 years ago. So this position.
Judge, I'm not questioning your judgment on this. I mean, that doesn't. I appreciate what you're doing and you're trying to take care of your people, and that means a lot to me. But I just don't think I can vote for this adjustment today.
Okay.
I mean, I appreciate what you're doing. And do not question your judgment at all, believe me. It's strictly a numbers game. So,
is there a forecast of when it could be asked for?
Probably during July budget process would be the better time, I think. Now, I don't know when you're wanting to hire. Maybe it's going to take this extra money to get this hire done. I don't know. But I think it's just going to create some problems within the ranks to hire somebody in at that salary to me. And that's just me.
And certainly the forecast right now, the courts are, all the courts, not just the 435th, are looking at a six-month window with no jury trials. If I were to forecast what October, November, December, what that's going to look like, and for the 435th specifically, we are the only court right now running with one individual in the front office. And it's to the point where this young man really is going to drown. And he has been voted a number one coordinator in the county for the last 2 years. So I know that he is worth his weight in gold.
Man.
And I would like to see him compensated. But certainly I don't believe, as you pointed out, at the level that his predecessor was.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't earned that. I agree with you. But I do need to fill that other position, and I know that 68 is a fair market value for the work.
Where does this land in the mid range, low, high? Where does that land? A little bit above midpoint? A little bit above?
It would put this new hire making more than anybody else except for Laurie, right?
I'd have to look, but I don't believe so.
I think it does.
I think that's right.
And Laurie's been here a long time.
I believe the high point is 72, 73.
I think Laurie's making 70. But to me this would be too much of a jump at one time. But
even at that, Judge, everyone up here has the highest respect for you and for what you're doing and for your people, taking care of your people. We have, over the last couple of commissioner courts, of realizing the significance of what has taken place in our economy, where we're looking at in terms of adding people, adding raises and the rest, and I'd have to go with Commissioner Metter as well and NOAC on this one at this time. So the issue of bringing it up during a budget is another issue, but at this point I would have to say the same thing.
I'm just concerned that we've been shut down for so long, the courts are so far behind, she's got one guy, she needs the help, but I don't know about, I'm not crazy about the $68,000 either, but where does it land in the low, mid, and high?
Commissioner, the midpoint for grade 12 is 61,242. And the maximum for the grade 12 is 73,490.
What's the low?
The minimum is 48,994.
And Commissioner Metter, you're right. That is to be the second highest paid out of all of them.
For Coordinator 1?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Believe so.
Chad, were you involved in this process?
I was involved in the process. I will say I'm not here on behalf of the Board of Judges. I'm here with Judge McGinnis today for the 4:30.
Good. Good.
Okay.
Thank you. We appreciate it, Judge.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Judge. We appreciate it. Go ahead.
Judge, go back and look at this again and see if you can get somewhere in the different ranges and maybe bring it back. I know the court's coming back in the next 2 weeks.
Actually, the 435th has been back for 2 weeks, so we've been holding in person.
This court.
The
Commissioner's
Court Administration, Office of Administration, they're coming back in 2 weeks with their 457th that they're going to talk about.
To equip the 457th?
Yeah.
I would put some new numbers together and maybe bring it back.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, so we're going to defer a motion on that? Or do we have a motion? Do we need a second?
I don't think we have a motion yet, but...
Do we have a motion?
Do we need to vote on this, or can we just defer it?
You haven't made a motion.
Do we need a motion?
No. Let's go ahead and defer it.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Judge.
All right. Jason, consider discuss and approve resolution order renewing the extending of the declaration of the local disaster.
Commissioners and Judge, thank you. Just like for the last couple months, we've extended the disaster declaration to assist with our supply chain and procurement process. We're back again asking for an additional 30-day extension. This will extend the disaster declaration until July 11th at 11:59 p.m.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Tammy, did you want to move your section up? Or you?
Are your people here, Tammy?
Oh, they're not?
You're still waiting on some
people. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Still waiting.
Okay.
Emergency management.
All right. Again, good morning. So I have a couple items on the agenda, and then the one at the end's got a few items by itself. The first one, 13A, is consider, discuss, take appropriate action on the resolution order authorizing an additional $250,000 for expenses necessary to respond to the ongoing pandemic, further authorizing overtime for departments. So over the last couple of weeks, I've come before court asking for funds from the CARES Act fund for OEM to utilize for PPE, medical testing, supplies, things like that. We're getting close to the limit you have given us so far, so I'm asking for an additional $250,000. And then on the overtime front, as more and more payrolls process, we're finding more departments are utilizing overtime to avoid that liability from stacking as comp time. We want to pay it out as it's earned. Good. I'm asking for, on this one particularly, in addition to what we've already authorized or what the court's already authorized, specific for custodial department, they're utilizing overtime to cover the courthouses and the court facilities during the daytime, so we didn't have to hire an outside firm to do that at this time. And as well as the county judge's department includes just our secretaries. They're answering their phones most of the time during their lunch breaks and getting some overtime.
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Uh-huh.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Item 13B is going to be taken. Amy's going to assist with this one.
So the first first item is consider and discuss take appropriate action regarding a resolution and order. This just memorialized the action that you took on June 1st, 2020. The stimulus program.
I want to add, too, I think that you and the county attorney's office, PD, everybody did a fantastic job on that resolution and order. It's well prepared, well put together. I think it states our case plainly, and we are certainly hoping for full support from the U.S. Treasury Department so we can move forward. And thanks to the Linebarger firm for help as well.
Do we have you, where are we at on that?
I'm going to take that right after this.
Okay.
So,
in essence, we hope to submit it by the end of the week to Treasury.
Right.
Okay. All right, we have a motion to approve 13B. I think, Commissioner, you will. Yes, is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
And I have one more item under 13B where it says, and related items, we talked to the Linebarger firm, and we actually have an agreement for administrative and mailing services. And what I wanted to point out in this agreement is that there's a term called a commencement date, and it says the agreement shall become effective today. However, the party's obligations don't start until after we get preclearance from the Department of Treasury. So nothing starts under this agreement until, or commences under this agreement until we have that preclearance.
Okay, is there a...
So to approve this agreement, we need a motion to approve this agreement.
Where's the agreement that we can look at? Where is it?
Here.
Okay. We're going to all get a copy of that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Are we going to get a chance to look at it before
you,
we vote?
You can.
How about you get us a copy of it, and we can look at it, and then we'll vote after executive
you
session?
You can do it. You can do it now. We were hashing out these, and so we got it yesterday.
And this is the agreement with Linebarger?
Right, and it mirrors the discussion that we had at the last court session, so you are welcome to take action on it today. However, we are still submitting that preclearance to the Department of Treasury, so there is no rush. If you'd like to defer this until today, fine. But we did get a signed agreement back from them.
Can we do it subject to final approval?
Subject to final approval.
What I want to see is what we're sending to the Treasury. That's what I want to see.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. That's
what I want to see.
Right. Yeah.
That's not in their agreement.
That's not in that agreement.
Right.
And the
that's
agreement
not there.
That ain't what I want to see. What
this is just the
okay.
This is just the agreement for $10 per application
okay.
processing.
If we may,
yeah.
So let's do this to move forward.
Okay. Well, I've moved on that.
We'll move on related. Okay. Do we have any more discussion?
Good.
All in favor?
Well, just a point of clarification, the Linebarger agreement deals with the homestead portion of
correct.
The two. Remember, there were two. There was the rental assistance
yeah.
and mortgage assistance, but the Linebarger agreement deals with the homestead property owners.
And to be clear, this agreement has been fully reviewed by the county attorney's office
yes.
twice. While the court may not have seen it as a
this
whole
agreement with
their firm, it has been fully agreed.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just want to make sure
subject
that everybody knows that it was
just like with
agreed.
The other issues, subject to final treasury, subject to final look.
It is conditioned upon
yeah.
the approval by the Treasury, and we don't have the letter that's going to the Treasury yet.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much.
I have something on 13B as well, please.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask the auditor if their department, if they would explore the costs associated with law enforcement during this COVID crisis. I'd like to look at reclassifying those expenses, the money that was spent during the disaster and the stay-at-home orders, and that would start on March the 12th and run through May 31st. March the 12th through May 31st.
We can definitely run those numbers now.
Okay.
Do you want to parse to get those numbers to you the next quarter?
If you can, I would appreciate that. And it was paid out of the general fund, and that's where we'll be looking at putting it back, if possible. If you could do that for us, I'd appreciate it.
We will run the numbers starting March.
How much money is that?
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out.
It'll be several million dollars.
Yeah, we ran the numbers a few weeks ago, but Rakesh will run the numbers.
Out of the general fund rather than CARES money?
Right now, it's paid out of general funds. We're looking to reallocate it.
So basically what it's saying is
to reclassify.
For all the public safety official salaries, we'll have to read on those numbers again. We ran some prelim numbers about 2-3 weeks ago.
Right.
And for the entire year, it was a huge sum of amount. So
from March 12th.
Let us know again.
Right now, just from March the 12th through May 31st.
Right now, he's interested in the time the disaster declaration started through the end of May.
Do we need to get that approved through the Treasury?
No. I think that it's clear in the guidance that those funds can be reimbursed that are related to COVID-19 response for law enforcement.
That's what we're here.
That's correct.
I will get those numbers to you, sir, next quarter.
Thank you.
We're good, Commissioner.
Jason, can you? I've gotten a lot of requests from departments about the overtime, what they can use the overtime for, what they cannot use the overtime. Could you mind? This might affect some of the commissioners too if they have some overtime. So, do you mind just giving a really quick as to what they can use that overtime for?
That's not part of this.
No,
that's not. Yeah. On the catch-all on 13D. Yeah. When we get to D, I'll
let's do that under D.
Yeah,
Amanda.
Perfect.
Okay, let's move on to item number C, correct?
Yes, 13C is consider take appropriate action on a 2020 Texas Water Development Board Flood Infrastructure Flood Fund abridged application in the amount of $935,000. This particular project is ready to go. However, under the Texas Water Development Board rules that were set up under SB 7, Montgomery County would be an 80% county funded, 20% grant funded. OEM believes that's, while that is project ready to go, we just do not have the county funds at this time to proceed.
I would make a motion to reject this application.
Absolutely. That's not, it says opportunity. That's not a very good opportunity.
Unfortunately, under that program, that's how the rules are going to be set up going forward on that particular program. We're going to be looking for other opportunities that are more 80% grant funded, 20% local match.
Right. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Opposed?
Motion carries. Thank you to reject that application.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Item number D.
On 13D, to go back to the overtime discussion, the court, as of right now, you've passed a number of departments allowed to use overtime. That's the sheriffs, the constables, the courts, court administration, custodial, county judge, OEM, and pretty much anything public safety related or that's direct, and the JP offices as well, that are seeing an additional workload due to COVID-19. That overtime originally was set up specific for eviction-related stuff. Subsequent orders, y'all have changed that to be pretty much wide open for overtime use as necessary to address their workloads. So departments can utilize those overtime funds to address their current workloads based on responding to the increased workload.
Which is in the Treasury guidance.
Correct.
Okay.
So there's no question on the sheriff and the constable side because it's public safety dollars. That's 100% good. We do need justification logs for the other departments that are not in the public safety positions, like the courts and custodial and things like that, so we know those increased workloads are justified in using overtime at that time. That's what Rakesh is going to need in order for him to pass audit and pay out the overtime. So.
Does that cover your question, Amanda?
Add to it.
Yeah, I think my go-to response is if it's a response to COVID, if the workload is related to, with your offices being closed and having an more workload when you're coming back and the offices are reopening, the overtime can be used for that. If there's for emergency management, any kind of related, for the hourly employees. So just wanted to give some feedback because I will say several departments have reached out to our office regarding, what they can use the overtime with. Can I work overtime for this? Can I work overtime for that? And so we always recommend that if you have any questions, the auditor's office does have some people in there that can give some good guidance as to what, what's allowed and what's not.
And you're talking specific to COVID-related activities? I mean, because for the most part, their overtime should have already been worked.
For most of those departments, yes, custodial and the sheriff and JPs and the courts are going to continue to have additional
workloads. And they've got the authority, but she's saying others do, and I don't understand. So, no, I don't think they should be working any overtime unless we approve it.
Several of the JPs have reached out to me.
Well, we have already given JPs.
They just didn't know what they could work the overtime for.
As long as it's COVID-related, and they need to make that decision themselves.
And that's pretty much anything they're dealing with since they were closed for those two-month periods.
So the buck stops with Rakesh?
Essentially, yeah.
We need to make sure that the activity logs reflect that it's a
Speak into the microphone, if you would.
So when we get the activity logs and the time sheets, we need to make sure that those were above and beyond due to COVID-19 is what's causing them to work overtime, and we will make that determination.
Good. In the if the questions and answers from the Treasury, anything that's COVID-related is covered, pretty much. So when you talk about overtime, those sorts of things, it's a done deal. Some departments are just going to need to be able to show. That's all that you're asking here,
for instance, it's easy for some to understand the increased workload. For instance, Constable 1 has been running crazy because they have the crisis intervention teams.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, Lake Conroe's been like the zoo every day, every weekend since the beginning of COVID because it was the only thing outside open for recreational use. So they're busy on two fronts. And there was no question that overtime was good for that. However, other departments, there's some questions. But Amanda and I have been fielding a lot of those questions, but it's good to talk about it now so they know if they have any last-minute stuff, they need to talk to Rakesh because it's ultimately going to be with him and how they approve that. So
I can't imagine anybody other than what we've already identified, except maybe custodial,
when we just passed
that would be COVID-related at this time.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the custodial is trying to work around.
Well, you'll have the JPs and the courts that
are doing
that
different things.
Workload stressed right now. But.
I can't think of anybody.
All right. On the rest of 13D, I have a couple items. We've talked about a few of them before. The CARES Act Committee discussed this last Thursday. OEMs requesting a purchase of a few items. First on this list is five forklifts. They're used forklifts. The five of them come as a group. The total for all five of them are $43,000.
Who's wanting to buy it?
So these forklifts, currently we have warehouse across in OEM for all our supplies, but at the same time, I've talked to the court before about us setting up our testing pods where we can drive this pod out to each one of the commissioner's precincts or any location throughout the county. It's a test system in a box, essentially. We can pull the forklift out, pick up all the equipment out of the trailer, set it up, and get it ready. To rent a forklift, it would cost more through the end of the year than to purchase the five that we've identified that are currently used and ready to go.
What does a new one cost?
They range from $32,000 to $48,000 brand new.
We need five of them?
Yeah, that's what, five?
So I need two at least for the warehouses, and then if I'm going to drive a trailer out and leave it for two or three days for a test site, I need to leave the equipment with it in the field.
How slightly used are these if you can get five of them for $43,000?
Yeah. Mark Seals is actually taking a look at them, and I believe they're in great shape. They're ready to go. So
where are they at?
They're with County Forklift Incorporated, so it's a local company here. So,
I think we have three forklifts in Precinct 3 alone. I don't know about the other commissioners, but you know when we need them in Precinct 3, I don't really care if you feel like you need five forklifts, but it just seems.
If
you're going to rent them, it's the difference. And far as being used equipment, when you just like a car, when you drive it off showroom floor, it depreciates rapidly. So,
I don't have a problem with the forklifts if you need them, but five of them for $43,000, I don't know what kind of forklift you're going to be getting.
So that as a package deal, the five of them are $8,600 a piece. I do not know what they would cost if we dropped that down to a lower number. The per unit cost may go up. So,
but they're willing to sell five of these things for $43,000.
As of right now, for COVID-19, I could utilize all five of them as we spread out and test across the county. And as you know, with CARES, anything we purchase with that after we're done with COVID-19 can be repurposed throughout the county. And I'm sure there's a number of departments that could utilize a forklift that currently do not have one. So building maintenance is
okay. What else is part of this?
You don't have
additionally, with that, I will need trailers in order to move the forklifts around. So there's four trailers here, forklift trailers. They're the tilt lift trailers. They're $6,000 a piece for $24,000. An enclosed trailer. We currently have a few enclosed trailers that we're using for this, but we need one additional one to finish out the test process. And the revisit of the truck from a couple commissioners' courts ago, I did get the truck the commissioner promised us. However, thankfully, since we delayed that option, these forklifts and the trailers are above the gross vehicle weight for that truck, so we need to upgrade that truck request to a one-ton. We did renegotiate on that, and it's actually slightly above what we presented, but it's lower than what I thought. It's $50,933 for a one-ton four-door crew captain.
Jason, how much was the enclosed trailer again?
$12,000. And the total on all items I'm talking about is $129,933.
And Jason, the $50,000 for the truck. Just
yes,
so last time your truck was going to be 45.
46 plus TTM.
And I bought the almost the exact same truck from a different vendor yesterday for 42, and they have another one just like it sitting on the lot. I don't know where you're getting these priced from, but 50, I don't think Montgomery County. No, it's not a one ton, but I don't think we've ever paid $50,000.
This is actually this
truck.
Quote is actually for a ton and a quarter. It's a 450.
Okay.
Purchasing, Susan Lamadola did the look at for the purchase item of this. She did on the previous one as well. So
I'm just thinking that it seems like we're buying all this stuff and like where are these testing sites now? We don't have them, right?
I currently have one in Montgomery today and one in East County of right now.
Was one at Willis High School yesterday?
That was not ours, but there was one there. The one that we're working on is it
the resources. Where are we getting the resources for this?
This would be out of the CARES Act fund.
CARES Act fund?
Yes, sir. And it's not just
that. Can we sell this stuff when we get
through? We could, essentially. We wouldn't recommend doing that before December 30th because then we have to reappropriate that money back to the CARES Act. But we could. It's a county asset at this point. I'm also planning. I'm sorry to cut you off, Commissioner. I'm also planning for round two. We don't know what that's going to look like, and we need to be prepared.
Understand.
So we're not going backwards in time and having to shut things down because we can't test in a rapid time. We're setting that up and preparing to be more complex in our testing across the county. So.
For whatever reason, where it's planning on the governor's part or yours, Judge, and shutting down social distancing or whatever, we pretty much dodged a bullet here. We certainly hadn't had the problems they've
Correct.
Had up north and all, and I don't want them. But I certainly, your chances, no matter what you're facing, a flood or a pandemic or a riot or anything else, are better if you're prepared.
Correct.
And I think you ought to be as prepared as you can be. Whether it's through testing, I don't have a problem. I support you.
All right. Do we have a motion to approve this item?
One more question.
Yes, sir.
The trailers for these forklifts, are they strictly for forklifts?
They could be used for anything. They're tilt lift on the end, but their intended purpose right now is for the forklifts because it's COVID-related at this present moment. But in an emergency, if we were to have a flood or something, Treasury has assured us we could reuse these equipments for other things during that other disaster. But between now and December, their intended purpose is to address our ongoing response to the pandemic. Okay.
The trailers are weighted for a forklift?
Yes. They're double tandem axled. They're prepared to handle the 9,000-pound forklift.
What was the total on this again, Jason?
Total for all of the items on this motion is $129,933. If you would put a not to exceed $131,000 because there may be some tax and licensing fees associated with all these.
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Everybody's in? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Last item, and I promise I will leave you guys alone. So I've discussed once before a climate-controlled warehouse. We have identified a climate-controlled warehouse fairly close to where our current warehouse is. For security purposes, I'm not going to disclose it here where it is.
How much room do you need?
This one would be 11,200 square feet. It's 75 cents a foot to rent for the next 6 months, so it's $10,200 a month for the next 6 months. It'll also be allowed under the CARES Act. This is not only just for our PPE and medical supplies to be covered in air conditioning, essentially, so they don't dry rot, but as the court knows, we purchased $2.5 million worth of technology in the last 2 weeks that you've authorized. Until that's distributed, we need somewhere to store that. And it has to be climate controlled as well. So this is going to be used for everything CARES related that we've purchased and will be continuing to purchase.
What about, is that new building we bought for IT, is it completely full?
The current warehouse that we have at the airport, which most of the commissioners have looked at, it is currently full.
I'm talking about the one that we bought for traffic signals. Is it full upstairs? Is all that full?
Well, it's got to be forklift.
It's not climate controlled.
There's no climate control in the warehouse space.
Oh, not upstairs?
And some of this stuff's going to have to be picked up on pallets, so it'll be difficult upstairs. But
All right. The computers, though, I think, Chuck, the air conditioning portion of the room upstairs, the potential kind of fallback North Star type room, you could all those computers could go there. They'd be more secure. They're in a building that is completely secure, and there's IT personnel there that could work from there, getting those computers up and running. So I think it'd be good to work with Chuck on
it. However IT wants to handle it, it was just brought to my attention that they were going to need the space which is fine because it's COVID related since it was COVID spent money. So,
okay.
But what else?
How soon are we going
to
need that?
So, if we were to go with your deal, then what happened? Why would we need
controlled space near OEM for us to distribute PPE to our departments and the city partners across the county, and a place to store it? Right now, we're busting at the seams, storing it in the air conditioning spaces that we have.
It won't cover beyond COVID.
Correct.
Treasury will not cover beyond the final
Correct.
December 30th.
This is a six-month lease at this time, and then if it gets extended or something, we can come back to court and get it that time.
Will you have a place to move all that to if we lose?
Well, hopefully as we get through the year, we'll have an understanding of how much we need to keep and what we need to prepare for as things move as progress. So if we're looking like this is going to move into 2021, Treasury's told us they'll probably move the things into 2021 as well. That's not a give, that's not a definite at this time, but as we know that, we could extend this lease and prepay it as well at the end of the year if we need to, so have that continued space to finish up our response to COVID next year. So,
okay. You need the space. So.
We'll bring the contract back to court. I just need just kind of a blessing so we can move forward.
All right, we have a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Opposed?
Motion carries.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Yep. All right, thank you, Jason. Good job. Tax assessor collector, Commissioner Nowak is going to have the honor of swearing in Tammy McRae today. But, Tammy, you have a bunch of guests who are here today, and we welcome all of you that have come across the state. And, Tammy, you honor us as a county.
Thank you.
By achieving this and continuing to do the excellence that you do.
Yeah, this is
awesome.
This is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Texas, big state.
We're supposed to be at conference this week, and this would have happened normally on Wednesday night. But instead of having 400 or so of our closest property tax professionals, we have a few here today. So. Can I go ahead and introduce them before we get started?
Yes.
I have to turn around. I'll just turn the mic.
It's okay.
Okay. First of all, we have Robin Garrett. Robin is Brazoria County Tax Assessor. Gary Barber, Smith County Tax Assessor. We have Allison Getz, Jefferson County Tax Assessor. We have Karen. She is Karen Lane, Madison County Tax Assessor. Christy Rowe, who is Brazos County Tax Assessor.
Awesome.
Bruce Stidham, Grayson County. Right behind Bruce is Wendy Burgess, and she's Tarrant County. Then Mary Ann Waters, Grimes County. Kevin Kieschnick from Nueces County. Donna Willis from Lynn County. Then we have Karen from Orange County. We have Peggy Martinez representing Harris County. Let's see, who else do we have? Switching over here, we have Michelle French from Denton County, Shay Ludicky from Bell County, Randy Riggs from McLennan County, and Larry Gaddis from Williamson County. Did I miss anyone? Did I get everyone? Okay, that's all of them.
I'm impressed you knew everybody's name. No wonder
remarkable.
You're president.
but you all honor us by being here today to celebrate with Tammy. It is remarkable. So thank you all very much for coming. Commissioner Nowak?
Yeah, absolutely.
Proceed.
As the judge and the other commissioners have stated, thank you all so much for coming today. And Tammy has asked me to swear her in, and she called my chief of staff, Evan, last week and begged him for me to say some nice things about her today. And if anyone who knows Tammy knows, you don't have to be begged to say nice things about her. No. She's probably one of the kindest, most compassionate servants we have in Montgomery County, and she, every action that she takes, she makes certain that it's a reflection of her. And thank you for all you do. All these other tax assessors, I'm sorry to say this in front of you, but we have the best tax assessor in the state right here in Montgomery County.
Thank you.
So with that being said, let me come down there and swear you in.
Okay.
Yes, thanks everybody for coming today.
Absolutely.
You bet.
All right. Please raise your right hand and repeat after me.
I, Tammy McRae.
Do solemnly swear
Do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the duties of the office of
That I will faithfully execute the duties of the office of
President of the Tax Assessor Collectors Association of Texas.
As President of the Tax Assessor Collectors Association of Texas.
I will uphold these duties.
I will uphold these duties.
As directed by the Constitution.
As directed by the Constitution.
And bylaws of this organization.
And bylaws of this organization.
I swear that I will conduct myself.
I swear that I will conduct myself.
In a manner that adds dignity.
In a manner that adds dignity.
Integrity.
Integrity.
To the association.
To the association.
And to the office of tax assessor collector.
And to the office of the tax assessor collector.
So help me God.
So help me God. Thank you. I have some more guests here. Jim Lambeth from Limebarger, and Jim came all the way from East Texas. Tanya Erickson Woods behind the mask from Houston, and my husband Jeff, and my daughter Brandy, and grandson Easton. So I appreciate everyone being here. Thank y'all.
And Tammy also.
Alan is here also. Alan Bush.
Yes. But, Tim, you also wanted me to announce that everybody present here today, you're going to take them to lunch today, correct?
That's right. She said that.
Right. Limebarger.
Just kidding. Listen, just kidding. Just kidding. It was a joke. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Commissioner Nowak, for honoring us with that
thank
as well.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on to community development. Soon as everybody departs.
That could give you a complex.
Yeah.
Okay, at A, I'd like you to consider and accept the CARES Act funding agreement between HUD and Montgomery County and authorize the judge to sign the related paperwork, both for the CDBG-CV and the ESG-CV. This is round one.
Do we have a motion to approve?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. And as a point of information, we have had a little more information trickle down about round two and round three. For CDBG, round two went to the state and the insular governments, which are our territories, will not be coming here. And round three, they still have not decided yet. But it's going to be based on a formula, so we have to see how we are as we spend round one before they decide whether or not we're getting any round three money.
So instead of it going to the county, it goes to the political subdivisions directly?
Round two goes directly to the states and the insular areas. Insular areas are Guam and the Virgin Islands and American Samoa.
Okay, so you're talking bigger picture. I get you. Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
So local units of government are not getting round two.
Okay.
But we will get round three if we hit whatever formula they decide on for round three.
Okay.
Okay.
When do we know that formula?
When they come up with it and when they put us through it and see if we're going to get anything. Wow. Depends on how we do with round one. Now, on the ESG side, we are apparently getting round two money, and it's twice as much as we got for round one. Senator Cornyn's office announced it. That's all I know. I haven't heard anything from HUD. I haven't gotten any kind of...
But that's still LMI regulated, right?
That's the deepest of the LMI. That's 50% and below.
Okay.
That is homeless, and if it's another 1.3 coming in, like Senator Cornyn's office announced, I'm going to have to really think outside of the box.
Hard to find that for us. Our homeless population is so small.
Yes, and so we're going to have to really come up with something other than rent assistance for that funding. It's going to have to be shelter ops and things like that.
Okay.
Okay. At B, please consider and approve opening the following positions and allow the budget office to transfer the salary and associated funds between the positions and our accounts as necessary. These are both full-time, temporary positions. We discussed them in the last court, and they are specifically for the CARES Act COVID funding. They'll be funded through the grant, and they will terminate on December 30th, 2020, unless HUD sees fit to extend admin money.
Okay.
Move.
Have a motion to
Commissioners
approve.
And Dr. Ducharme, Commissioner Metz and I have one change we'd like to make to this. We are going to jointly offer up an employee to service the two or the nonprofits that are represented by precincts 3 and 4. And I would like to have Jeannie Stewart work with your office to fill one of those positions. So we'll only need to open one position, and Jeannie will do the work of the other one as part of her duties for my office, and she'll work with Commissioner Metz.
I didn't have anybody available, as I told you, from my department, and I appreciate
Dr. Ducharme? You're looking bewildered.
We have advertised the financial person, and we've already selected the case file person. We opted to go with one of our interns who's already trained up and ready to hit the ground tomorrow, literally, and that is C on the agenda is to...
Yeah, you have one person hired.
So, Commissioners, you guys would want to open the 642-040-4283-1 position, the financial monitor position. The intern that Joanne's talking about has filled the case file monitor, so the file monitor position is basically what Jeannie would take over.
Which is a financial position.
She'd be great at it.
Okay.
I'm not following why we're not just going by what we voted on last.
Yeah, what we decided last time, that it was going to be funded from CARES.
Because
really
we have a person that can do this. And we don't have to spend the money out of the CARES Act funds at all. Our community center is not open, and we don't know when it's going to open. She's not doing any senior activities, and we feel like it'd be a good use of her time. And she works with Interfaith all the time. She knows some of the other nonprofits, and we think she'd do a great job at it.
Which one of these jobs would you want her to do?
Well, I guess it'd be the financial monitor position. She certainly would be capable.
Have you looked at anybody with any experience for that job?
We have advertised it. Our interns are for case monitoring.
You don't have an offer out?
No, we haven't begun to interview her.
Would this be okay with you?
Where I was confused is he said precincts 3 and 4. This person's got to do the entire county.
Well, I guess you'd do it. She would do it all, but it was just Commissioner Metz and I had discussed it.
Okay. Okay.
I think we stick with the way it's written here on the agenda myself.
I would agree. I agree too. Plus, it's your department, and you're going to want to hire the people that you want to hire. I'm all in favor of what I like what you're thinking. Don't misunderstand. I think it makes a lot of sense.
If you open back your community center and you have to pull Jenny out, well, then she's got to go through a hiring process again.
Correct. And we're not sure when that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know when it's going to happen. I agree with the judge and Commissioner Riley. I just assume leave it like it is.
Okay.
So thanks for your offer, though.
Yeah. Do we have a motion to approve it as it is?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
All right. 3-2. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And item C.
Item C is to consider and approve the CARES Act Round 1 funding agreements between the county and the nonprofits who will be distributing the funding around the county. And they are Society of Samaritans, Society of St. Vincent de Paul, Interfaith of the Woodlands, Mission Northeast, and Community Assistance Center. And I brought the budget to you in the plan, and these are the agencies that reflect that plan.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you,
Dr. Ducharme. County Auditor.
Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners. Item 16A, consider and approve payment of accounts.
Move. Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Rakesh.
Thank you.
Purchasing, Gilbert.
Why did we move that item out of consent?
The
payment of accounts used to be in consent.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. There's never any discussion. I mean, it's just payment of accounts. I don't know why that was moved out.
Why don't we put it back?
It may go back.
Yeah, let's put it back.
It just may go back.
Works for me.
Yeah, I have no problem.
Thank you.
That was kind of early on, Commissioner.
Okay.
Proceed, Gilbert.
Yes, sir. Good morning. We have two contracts to award. The first is for the Community Center Expansion Project in Precinct 2. This is HUFCO, the bidder, $953,745.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
When was that building built?
2001, I think.
Is that what it was?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Yes, sir. The second is replacement security doors at the mental health facility. A little bit of there is Cornerstone Detention, $82,722.99.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Gilbert. Grants.
Rebecca?
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. Item A, please consider and approve the TxDOT Aviation CARES Grant application in the amount of $157,000 for the airport. Please authorize James Brown to execute any related paperwork and accept grant funding once awarded.
Move.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Item B.
Next one. Item B.
Consider and approve the fiscal year 2021 Auto Theft Task Force grant application in the amount of $337,464 with a match of $282,204. That's from the Sheriff's Office and $105,698 from other entities participating in the program. Please authorize the judge to be authorized official.
Move.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Rebecca,
thank you,
Rebecca.
Rebecca,
I'm going to get my compactors.
The news, we've got the contract, and so the acceptance will be on next court.
Oh, really?
Right.
So,
oh,
good.
Cool.
Okay.
Look at there.
Good. Good work. Thank you.
All right. So we're going to recess Montgomery County Commissioners Court to convene public hearings. Public hearing. Consider and approve District Court's annual District Court Technology Fund. Who is here to do that? Yes.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm great. As in years past, the district clerk is required by statute to present a preservation plan annually. The plan for 2020 through 2021 is similar to those presented in the past. For the district clerk 2020-2021 preservation plan, we estimate that we will preserve 15,000 or more documents, either in-house or using a third-party resource when necessary. The estimated cost will be $61,000. I want to take a moment and publicly thank my team for working very hard on the current plan. They scanned and preserved approximately 85,000 documents and 229,000 pages so far this year.
Wow.
That is just from January to today. In 2019, they scanned 178,000 documents and 479,000 pages. That is an increase from 2018 by about 43,000 documents and 93,000 pages. We shredded over 1,300 boxes since January of 2019, and that equals approximately 40,000 pounds of weight that was relieved from the attic spaces in our storage areas.
Wow.
In addition, we started a new project for the destruction of exhibits. We currently have two vaults that are full to capacity with trial exhibits and have already sent out the first round of letters notifying parties and attorneys of the intent to destroy. We have also reduced our overall storage space from 5 storage facilities down to just 3, and hopefully before the end of this year will be only 2 storage facilities. Thank you for your time, and I would just ask that you approve our current plan.
I move. Thank you.
Good Thank job. You very much. We'll Great reconvene job. Court and take appropriate.
Wait.
We have proceed. Oh, sorry, Amy. Go ahead.
You didn't.
You have to reconvene court.
Yeah, we got to reconvene.
I know. I was just doing that. I was. The words were coming from my mouth.
Right. And see if anyone wants to comment on it.
Is there anyone who would like to comment on it? Any citizens or any individuals?
Great job.
All right. Thank you. It's a great job. We'll reconvene court and take appropriate action.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Let the record reflect Commissioner Nowak was not present at the vote. All right. Human resources.
Good
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please consider and approve the payroll change request forms.
Move.
Second.
And discussion, then, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And second of all, consider, discuss, and take appropriate action regarding additional personnel requests and upgrades for fiscal year 2021. I know we talked about this last court, and I just kind of want to give you guys an update on where we are. We've been a little bit inundated with requests for new hires and also for upgrades. At this point, I've got 75 requests for upgrades. 13 just are for just increases for employees without any upgrade, just to give them some additional money. We've got 8 new positions that have been requested. 3 departments do have funding available to take care of their upgrades that they're requesting, and that is the county attorney, risk management, and the district clerk's office. And then at this point, and we're still going through some others, we've got 14 departments that are requesting budget requests, and out of the 14, 10 of them are elected officials.
What was the very first number you said, 75 what?
I've got requests for 75 upgrades of positions. So where they're wanting
upgrades.
To... Yes, sir, upgrades, where they're wanting to promote people from one position to the other.
Yeah.
So we're in the process of looking at the PDQs.
Okay. And how many new positions?
Right.
Eight?
Now we've had 8 requests.
Okay.
So in terms of this,
that's good.
This item, help us. What are you asking?
She was just going to give us an update on, she came here 2 weeks ago and the court had given a direction that there aren't going to be many upgrades or positions open, yet she's still getting these requests. And
well, we didn't make that an official.
Well, we made the comment too.
Statement, but we did comment.
It's probably going to be no, but if you feel that strongly about it, come to the podium and talk
yeah.
to us. That's what we told them.
That's right.
And so she's given us an update yeah. on how many have she's received.
And so just so you guys know, all those people that requested, they'll be on the budget workshop schedule, so they will be here to discuss their upgrades. Several, you know, every department that had it that is willing to, that wants to
and
come up here to the
unless
podium.
They want to change their mind now.
Yep.
And
yep.
that's my thought is, why do we want them to come up here if the answer is going to be no? Unless
well,
they have
may
a
be
compelling
a good upgrade.
Well,
know.
Unless they have a compelling story, I'd rather not hear it.
I mean, well, but the, we won't know if it's a, with all due respect, Commissioner, we're not going to know if it's a compelling story until we hear it.
True.
And we have elected officials that represent 600,000 people across the board in this county
and
that represent those people. And if they believe they have a compelling story, it's probably going to take some extra work. It's stuff that we weren't planning on. But the fact of the matter is, across the board to say we won't listen to anybody, I don't think is in the spirit of...
Nobody,
of
I don't agree with you.
Saying, we yeah, will
yeah.
listen.
Saying we won't
that's
listen.
What, this is, that's
we're
what
just
I'm
saying
fit,
there's
my,
a lot of... I mean, either so Doty's department, her, either have to go through the process of reviewing every one of these PDQs, grading them, making sure if it's all for naught, then it's not worth their time. If we're truly going to give consideration to it, then proceed as normal. But I think I would like to think that the elected officials and the department heads that work for Montgomery County understand when the court makes a request that, hey, this is unlike anything we've ever seen. We're not sure what our collection rate's going to be. We're asking them not to submit. You know, we're trying not to grow the budget. We have $10 million that we've already spent.
Yeah, a little over 6 million.
That we have to account for, that we've already spent this year for next year. And if we're saying that we're going to have $10 to $13 million less in revenue, then there's no way to get that done if we're going to have all these new positions and upgrades.
Nobody is disagreeing
well,
with that, Commissioner.
We
all, correct. Yeah, and my thought is if we can get them to understand that it's highly unlikely, then maybe they won't go through the process and they won't put all this work on a department for no reason. That's kind of the whole point. And I get that what you're saying,
yeah,
they have
right.
that right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think they should also understand that this is probably just not the best year. And it appears that plenty of them are not listening at this point.
Well, but here's the deal, though. We, in our last commissioner's court, we voted on numbers of these, and we explained to them our position on raises, on our position on adding people. We just went through it a few moments ago with the judge. And there, you know, but there are going to be people and individuals, elected officials especially, in some of our departments that believe they have a compelling story. Now, if we are willing, somebody wants to make a motion that we are not going to accept any compelling stories and we are not going to, under any circumstance, do any kind of a raise or anything else, then let's entertain that motion. Otherwise, it's going to be up to you, Doty, and it's going to be up to you, Amanda, when you talk to these, the chance of you getting this done or not, let the chips fall where they fall, because they're going to go through you guys anyway first.
I agree.
I believe the ones that we had last time were, I believe they were budget neutral with the county clerks and others. The district clerks is going to be the same, as well as the county attorney's office, and we requested them to come back at budget time. So with those exceptions.
Yeah, right. Agree.
Well, you want to make that as a motion? If it's not budget neutral, don't bring it to us?
I'm not suggesting stay in your lane, brother.
Well, the main thing was,
if you're giving money back, I'll take it any day.
I wanted to give you all an update as to what we've received so far and what we've gone through. We are in the process of reviewing the PDQs and looking at the personal modification forms. So it's just an update to let you know what's happening, what you can expect in July.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doty. We appreciate it so much.
So we don't need any action on that, I don't guess.
Not at this point, I don't believe.
Yeah.
All right. Executive session. The court recessed for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. Thank you all. We will be back in a little bit.
All right.
To reconvene.
Will you hand me those?
Oh, yeah.
Big old. Okay. Here.
As we continue, there is no action to be taken from our executive session. Are there any citizens who would like to speak to us today about any of the subjects that were on the agenda or anything else? You have 3 minutes. If there are none, then is there any miscellaneous business we need to talk about? If there is none, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Ms. Tom, the floor is yours, Commissioner.